So Christingle at the beginning of December is an opportunity for us to start to focus. Now, it may not have passed you by that, you know, Christmas isn't many weeks away. And for some of us, that brings with it stress and anxiety, uncertainty. For some of us, it brings much sadness and fear. Loneliness or separation, those that we can't be with, those that we long to be with. Others are longing to create the best and most perfect Christmas in the world. And yet, in the midst of it all, we so easily lose what should be there, what should be at the middle, what should be at the centre. Our aim today with our Christingles is to start to rediscover the deeper things behind Christmas. And as we go through the next few weeks, as you see your Christingle on the mantelpiece, or you look at the tinsel and sparkly lights all around or whatever, to try and remember that it's the razzmatazz is one thing. We know in our culture so much of what appears to be beautiful and sparkly only appears to be beautifully and sparkly, but we know that the centre of Christmas is the centre of the human story. And the human story is very simply put, it is the story of the Bible. And it starts making a God, making a world that is beautiful and wonderful. And it carries on with us telling God to shove off. And then the most outrageous thing happens. God the Father cries out, "I want my family back." And then he sets out to get them. And that is the story we're going to retell today. So we start with an orange, don't we? To remind us that God made a world that was good, made a world that was full of life, it was full of vitality, it was full of potential. And he made it not because he needed anything back, but because he wanted to, because he delighted in it, because it gave him joy to create and give it as a gift to people. Now, I don't know how much you know about Christingle making. I didn't know much until I came here 10 years ago. We've done it in various combinations, but due to the fact that all my children have left home, I didn't have a team of volunteers to help me this year. So I decided I'd get organised, and a week ago I bought all the oranges and I put the tape around them whilst watching the football, thinking I better not cut the bottom and put the cross in the top yet, because if I do, it'll go nasty. But one of my oranges had another opinion already and decided that waiting for a week was too long and it would just go rotten anyway. And actually, when we look at the orange you've got there, the cut in the top, the shape of a cross, we know that if we leave it very long, it won't be long before it goes rotten. It won't be long before it starts to look a bit like this. And actually, that's something of what happened to our world. When we told God to shove off or do it our way, thank you, darkness started to fall and things started to go a little bit wrong and then go a little bit more wrong and a little bit more wrong and a little bit more wrong. Not just in our lives, but in the whole world around us. People walked away from God and it got a bit darker and a bit darker and a bit darker. But God has never given up on humankind. He loves this world and he loves each one of us. He called some back to him and said, "I want to do something new. I'm going to do a new thing. Just wait. Just pray. Live for me and wait." And if you waited and longed and longed and longed, even though they didn't know what it was at times that they were waiting for, a longing for depth, a longing maybe for purpose, a longing for identity, a longing for security, a longing for hope. What they really longed for was for God. And as we, Peter, could you come up again, mate? You're needed immediately. I've just realised where you are. What happened really is that, you know, at Advent we remember back for that first longing for God to come and sort this out with Jesus. We remember, you know, the longing that we have for all things to be put right. And I also quite look forward to the fact that Christmas is coming, and the best of Christmas as a celebration is a beautiful thing. So we're going to sing our second hymn. This one's O Come Emmanuel. It's a hymn of longing, a song of longing, saying, Emmanuel means God with us. God, would you come and would you be with us? It's really simple. As we know, that the principle of the Christian English, you have the world, and you have like a broken world, and then the light comes into the world, doesn't it? So we've got a world, we've got the light to come into the world. Can you get that in there, please?
No.
Extreme violence is allowed?
No, but I could hold it on there.
Okay, what's going to happen if Diane pushes down as I will her to, but she won't? Okay, the world, as you might call it, just couldn't take it, could it?
No.
What would happen if the creator of the universe, in all his magnificence and glory, turned up on planet Earth? Do you think the Earth could take it? In the Old Testament, there's a bit where God says, I'm going to come down, I want to talk to Israel. I'm just going to make my presence felt a little bit. And the people of Israel go, we don't want to do that. And they run away, and basically they hide in their tents while God comes down to Mount Sinai and talks about thunder and rumbles and lightning and all this stuff that talks about the difference that God is. So, excuse me, we cannot... I'll just stand back. Oh, sorry, that was meant to stand up, see? The world can't take it, first of all. So if God came as he truly is, that would be bad for the world. And more than that, if that's the world, and this is our candle, and we say we want God's come so we can meet him, so we can know him, so we can encounter him, and it's lit up here and we're down there, the little anti-flea thing. How are we going to meet with God? It's interesting, isn't it? The fact that Jesus came as a tiny baby, we so often miss the fact that it was the only way we could get the hang of who God is and what God is. So while they're having a whacking great candle and tiny little earth in our Christingles, we've got a big earth and a smaller candle. Because the whole point of Jesus coming wasn't to be here and go, da-da, it was actually so that we could see what God was like. We could know what God was like. We could walk and talk with him, and, as we'll come on to later, that he could make it possible for us to know him personally. So, if you would like to, I'm trying to read my script, we won't do the candles now. If you would like to take the candles out of your envelopes and pop them in, and Diane, as a reward for not getting covered into orange juice, would you light our two Advent candles, please?
Which ones?
The ones that are already lit. And then I'm going to invite Joan up, and Joan's going to bring us a Bible reading that thinks about the fact that Jesus is... We talked about the world getting darker and darker as people were left to their own devices. When Jesus comes, it talks about us being the light of the world, something that shines so we can see what the world is like, something that shines so we can see what God is like. And Joan is going to bring us our Bible reading from John chapter 1. Christmas inevitably leads to Easter, doesn't it? There are 33 years between one and the other, in which time Jesus grew up from boy to man, worked as a professional kind of joiner and carpenter, and then for 3 years wandered around literally the area, telling people, showing people, demonstrating to people what God was like, who he was. People didn't like it, and that was reason enough for the officials to get rid of him. So whilst we have a beautiful world, we also have the red band around it, don't we, to remind us that that's the reminder of the blood of Jesus, that actually when God came in person, our response to him was to kill him. We might say, well, I would never have done that, but I'm not so sure. Maybe we would have done. We'd have certainly had him locked up as a lunatic. I don't know. But in amongst it all, Jesus knew what was going to happen. He knew that this was the case. He knew that actually, in doing so, he would make a way for us to be made clean again. Because the blood shed for us bought God's forgiveness. It allowed us to be made whole. It allowed us to be made clean. And more than that, it allowed us to know God again properly. And all that aching and all that searching that people do, and all that pain of identity and lostness can be removed as we reconnect with God. In the first reading, it said, in the beginning, the best of all, they got to walk and talk with their wonderful daddy, God. The beautiful thing of the Christian faith is we can know God as Father again. His Spirit can come and live within us and help us to know that and to live another way. And as we go, know, Jesus behind us at the moment is still on the cross. And one of the things, if I could do anything to this church, do you remember how James Bond had a rotating number plate in one of the films? I would have a rotating stained glass window so that sometimes he's on the cross. And sometimes the cross is empty and he's standing victorious next to it. Because sometimes we need to remember Jesus died, and most of the time we need to remember that he rose again. That the world is still broken, it's still not as it should be, but it will be restored, it will be put right, because God longs for us to know that. And he longs for us to know him. He wants his children back, and he loves us very, very deeply. He loves us with a personal, wonderful, face-to-face, heart-to-heart, walk with me, come around for a cuppa kind of love. That amazing and wonderful truth. Father God says, I love you, I've come looking for you. My son's come so I can be known and so that you can know me. So please do take a seat, because there's something still missing, isn't there? What's missing? Yeah. Cocktail sticks. Francis, what are they for? Francis? They're the fruits of the earth. They remind us, there are four of them. They remind us of the four seasons, but please don't put them in yet. Oh, hold your horses. Hold your horses, because sometimes we sit and think, well, it's just about the fruits of the earth. God's given us four seasons, spring, summer, autumn, winter, and that's lovely, isn't it? And this summer was beautiful for us. For other people, it rained a lot and it really wasn't good. But actually, there's something more to it than that as well. I don't know whether you've thought about it, but remember our orange from over here, the one that got away from me and its owner developing a whole new, going rotten. And actually, do you know, if God wasn't actively involved with everything in our world, we'd have ended up in a lot more chaos and a lot worse state than we are already. Because Paul talks about God being actively involved in our world all the time. In him we live and move and have our being. So it's not just that God set the world up and wound it up and off it goes and every so often gives it a prod. God holds it together. God is actively involved with all things. So whilst we can talk about the seasons or the fruit of the earth, and those are brilliant things, absolutely, there's also a wonderful truth that God is involved and longs to be involved with everything. And as we pray to him and talk to him about things and ask him to get involved with things, he loves to do so. Doesn't always do what we want, doesn't always do it in the time we would like, but God always hears our prayers. God always wants what is best for humankind. So sometimes our no means something else can happen that is good for others. And sometimes our no, when God doesn't answer the prayer in the way we want, well, we don't know why there's a no there, but one day we will. But in the meantime, I would like us to take a few minutes to pray with our cocktail sticks. Can we have the next slide, I think, Martin? In a minute, we're going to put one in, and each of us is going to privately say a prayer, and then we'll put the next one in, and so on. But our prayer sticks are these. The first one is to thank God for providing for us, whatever it might be. It might be everything, or it might be something very specific. The second one, something we want to trust to God. It might be a situation or a worry or whatever. Characteristic number three, someone to trust to God. Might be someone who's on your heart, someone who's struggling, or someone who's full of joy even. But you want to just trust them to God and ask that God to bless them. And then finally, last piece of the jigsaw, to pray for peace in our world. Jesus said, you know, until his return, there will be trouble. And we see that in the news. We're more aware of it now than we ever have been, because whenever there's any bad news in the world, they love to tell us immediately. We never hear the good news because people don't pay attention to it. But actually, our world is in desperate need of peace. So what we're going to do is we're going to just quietly put these in one at a time. So have a moment, just quietly come to God's presence. What is it you want to thank God for? In your head and your heart, say thank you to him as you put that first stick in.